The cannon were thundering when at early morn, September 17, 1862, I mounted my horse at Hagerstown, where I had arrived the preceding day, upon its evacuation by the Confederates. The people of the town, aroused by the cannonade, were at the windows of the houses or in the streets, standing in groups, listening to the reverberations rolling along the valley. The wind was southwest, the clouds hanging low, and sweeping the treetops on South Mountain. The cannonade, reverberating from cloud to mountain and from mountain to cloud, became a continuous roar like the unbroken roll of a thunderstorm. Wafted by the gentle breeze, it made the battle seem much nearer than it was. I was fully 7 miles from Hooker's battlefield. I turned down the Hagerstown and Sharpsburg turnpike at a brisk gallop, although knowing that Lee's army was in possession of the thoroughfare by the toll gate, then standing about 2 miles north of Sharpsburg. A citizen who had left his home to be beyond harm during the battle gave me the information. The thought uppermost in my mind was to gain the left flank of the Confederate army, mingle with the citizens, and so witness the battle from the Confederate side. It would be a grand accomplishment if successful. It would give me a splendid opportunity to see the makeup of the Confederate army. It would be like going behind the scenes of a theater. I was in citizen's dress, splashed with mud and with dilapidated hat. While wondering what would be the outcome of the venture, I came upon a group of farmers who were listening with dazed countenances to the uproar momentarily increasing in volume. It was no longer alone the boom of the batteries, but a rattle of musketry, at first like pattering drops upon a roof, then a roll, crash, roar, and rush, like a mighty ocean billow upon the shore, chafing the pebbles, wave on wave, with deep and heavy explosions of the batteries like the crashing of thunderbolts. I think that the currents of air must have had somewhat to do with it, for since then I have seen and heard conflicts where the numbers engaged were much larger than in Hooker's attack. At any rate, the farmers' hearts were in their mouths. Their faces were blanched, and they were walking about nervously, undecided, evidently, whether to flee or to remain. "I wouldn't go down the pike if I were you," said one, addressing me. "You will ride right into the Rebs." "That is just where I would like to go." "You can't pass yourself off for a Reb. They'll see, the instant they set eyes on you, that you are a Yank. They'll gobble you up and take you to Richmond," said the second.